Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Way Podcast.
Come on.
I'm Zenya and I'm joined by
Jesse
and Michelle.
Come on. And today we are going to be looking at chapter 2 of Colossians. Spoiler alert, we are in Colossians, guys. And we have looked at chapter 1. So if you haven't listened or seen, listen and see. Go have a look at that. And today we're going to be going into chapter 2. But before we do that, we should go to the streets. Let's go to the streets and hear what you guys think.
Do you think you have to earn God's love?
No, I think God loves everyone.
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Yeah, because if you, like, you just have to earn God's love, like, you should have to earn it.
No, because I feel like you're taught that God will love you either way. I don't feel like you have to earn it, really. I feel like it's just given out freely. Well, I guess you have to believe in him to get the love.
I feel like it's unconditional, right? But at the same time, like, you kind of have to uphold your duties. Like, you need to be, like, a moral and just person.
If God is supposed to be benevolent, then I feel like he loves you regardless of who you are, essentially, to put it simply.
Even if you did something bad, I don't think he'd hate you, but he'd just be, like, disagree.
No matter what you do, your sins or whatever, God's kind of there to be like, I love you no matter what. And I know that can be a bit dodgy, but I think that that's, you know, he's not human, so I think that that's part of his thing to kind of be like, yeah, you're gonna mess up, but I love you regardless and you don't have to work for it. I don't know, I think that's what I'd say personally.
I don't know, I'd always thought that he's like all forgiven, right? So therefore, if you're all forgiven, that means that you're always loving.
Okay guys, let's get into some Bible.
Let's do it. Sweet. Can you start us off?
You know what, Jesse, I would love to.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Okay, it says, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church of Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, and that your faith in Christ is strong.
Mm.
Oh, I love Paul's heart. Paul cares for these people, even though he's far away and they've possibly never met. Mm. And I love that his main thing is for them to know, one, the truth of Jesus, but for them to hold on and not be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Christianity, it can be so easy for people to miss the mark on our understanding of the faith. And so, like, if you're a new believer and you come to faith, you could be led astray because somebody got it wrong, which is easy to do, you know. And sometimes we don't understand everything. And I think that's the beauty of the gospel. It could take so long for you to comprehend. Some of us may never fully comprehend, but it's important that we get the basics right and the fundamentals right. And I think that's what Paul's heart is.
Yeah, I think it really does show kind of Paul's motive with the letter, this, like, little passage here. You know, he really wants to help, like, the people of, how do you say it? The Colossian church. He wants them to understand the knowledge of this mystery, of God's mystery, which is Christ.
Yeah.
In whom all treasures are hidden and wisdom and knowledge abound. It's like, it's within him that all this wisdom and knowledge is. And I think he's just trying to, like, make sure everyone's got that right. Because I was listening a little bit about the context of which Paul's writing to the Colossian church. And there's kind of a question on Jesus as being fully God as well as fully man. There's a question of him and almost like the Trinity. There's a question of his deity. Or like, that's quite a big word, but there's a question of whether he does have the power and the authority of God. And so this is kind of what Paul's saying, is he's trying to give an understanding and an assurance in that so that no one can delude us in, like, plausible arguments. Because it's true, there are plausible arguments in the world as to why Jesus isn't the Son of God. But we as Christians believe that he is. And so Paul's just kind of affirming that. And you see that throughout Colossians 1 as well.
Yep.
Like if you go back and look at us talking about it last week, Paul's emphasis is the fact that he is the image of the invisible God. This is the Son of God. This is like a divine being of divine nature. And we can't lose that like importance.
I think that's good. And also in the context as well, like people were worshipping other gods, right? All these like Greek gods and like Roman gods. And I think in the midst of that, some people probably thought, oh, Jesus is just like another one out of the many. So that's okay. But Paul's saying that actually God himself, like the essence and the mystery of God, like the one thing, it's not all these different other arguments, like you were saying, it is Christ himself. And I think that's something we can hold on to in our generation, right? Like a lot of people think that there are multiple ways, there are multiple truths, but as Christians, we know there's only one truth, and that is Christ, that is the incarnation, that is the death and resurrection of Jesus. And Paul's like, let's get clear on that. Let's know it.
And I think just to like add to what we've already said, the time that Paul was writing to, the Greeks kind of had this culture of trying to attain this hidden wisdom, this like upper wisdom, and trying to almost find answers there. But what Paul's being like very firm on is you don't have to look for this hidden wisdom. All the hiddenness, all the mysteries of the world is found in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Look at Jesus. He's the answer. And I think that's super practical for us as well. Like as Christians in 2024, like walking with faith, there are lots of answers. There's lots of places where we look to solve our problems. If a problem arises, sometimes we don't look to Jesus instantly. Mm. But actually, Paul is telling us all understanding, all knowledge, all of it comes from Jesus.
Mm.
And I think that's the way we should view life, is almost through this like lens of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
It's like, okay, I'm dealing with this. What would Jesus do? We all have the bracelets in it. Mm. What would Jesus do, bracelets? But it's like actually really practical and really helpful. Yeah. And like really important.
Mm.
So
the filter of faith.
The filter of faith. The lens of faith.
Come on.
That's not a part of the armor of God. There's no like goggles of Jesus. I don't know.
The goggles of grace.
Goggles of grace. Yo.
Let's go.
What's going on? We should write. No, we shouldn't.
No.
We shouldn't add to the Bible.
A little heretical.
Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Let's read another bit. Michelle.
Yes.
Do you want to take us? Do you want to lead us to victory, Michelle?
From 6 to 15.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Freedom from human regulations through life with Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by human hands, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailed it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Dang.
Dang. Yeah, too right.
Love it.
Who wants to begin?
Do you know what made me laugh? You know, verse 8, my Bible called it philosophies and high sounding nonsense. And I just feel like that's something Paul would say. Like, this is ridiculous. This is nonsense.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because, like, in all seriousness, like, Paul was very, very particular about understanding Jesus in full, like, knowledge, like being sound on it. And I think in that time, there was a lot of polarizing takes on who Jesus was. And I love the verse that you read about how in Christ, like, the full deity is in the body of Christ or whatever. I'd definitely paraphrase that. But there is only one truth, and it's Jesus. And also, I heard this quote the other day that was like, like everybody has a different understanding of Jesus, which shouldn't be true, because people almost create a Jesus that suits them,
mm-hmm.
or they create this understanding of Jesus to appease their own like self-interest. So for example, like some people might say, oh, it's okay to sin because Jesus is forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a partial truth. That's not a whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, Jesus forgives sin because he took on the penalty, and God mm-hmm. looks at us through the lens of Christ. But that doesn't mean we can just sin knowing that it's wrong and just mm-hmm. keep going back to Jesus because, oh, there's grace. Like that's not true. And I think within that, like there's a clear understanding of who Jesus is,
mm-hmm.
and we shouldn't warp our understanding of grace or the cross or Jesus to suit our own self-interest or to suit our own like what like will help you mm-hmm. sleep at night. Do you know what I mean? Like
mm.
I think that'd be doing God a real disservice.
Mm.
So that was what I was thinking.
Mm.
Bit different, but yeah.
Mm. And I think it's in verse 9 it says, you actually already said it, but for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form.
Mm.
Essentially saying Christ is God.
Yeah.
And like whatever sort of like questions that are going around, rumors around Christ not being God, who is Christ, and that question around him, he's basically just addressing it, being like, no, the full deity lives in bodily yes. form. This is God, mm-hmm. Christ, Jesus. Yeah. And it's only through him. It's not what we can do with our own flesh,
mm.
with our own hands, with our human hands. It's actually only God. It's only God that can save us. It's mm. only what he's done on the cross, bearing all of our sins on the cross. He nailed it there now yes. that, so that we can be free. And I think it's really cool
yes.
to think like sin and all of these things are kind of floating around, and like all these different principalities and authorities had on humans. And like with Christ coming, it almost just like all of that just kind of submits under his feet. Mm-hmm. And like he That's now great. Reigns above it all. I think it's really cool.
That's really good, Michelle. Yeah. I also like what you talked about, the circumcision. And the way that I also think about it is like the Jews would circumcise themselves as a physical sign that they were marked and separate and they were like God's chosen people, mm. right? But Paul is saying like, you don't need to do anything physical to set you apart, because there's nothing physical you can do. It's a spiritual thing.
Mm.
Like the circumcision of the spirit, like in confessing and believing in Jesus, faith is the thing that separates you, and faith is the thing that makes you a part of God's chosen people. And he's talking to a group of people that believed in like the Abrahamic covenant, and that, you know, you were saved by like being a descendant of many nations and all of that stuff. But actually it's through Jesus that we get brought into this new family, where both Jews and Gentiles get to be mm. a part of this one thing. And Paul talks about this like multi-ethnic family, which is essentially just like the whole world. And then everybody gets to be a part of this inheritance mm. through believing in Jesus. It's not just people that have a physical way of saying it, but it's people that believe it in the spirit. Because God's after your heart, not what you do.
Mm, totally. Mm.
I love the start where, you know, where he's encouraging us to be rooted and built up in God and like established in faith.
Mm.
It results in us abounding in thanksgiving.
Mm.
And I think it's such a choice to be thankful
mm.
in times of difficulty and in times of joy. Like we need to actively choose and remember that thanksgiving is fundamental with the kingdom of God. Mm. It's like you look when Jesus taught people how to pray. I think I mentioned this in Philippians, but like when he taught his disciples how to pray, he started with hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name, which is essentially just saying like, praise be you. Thank you, God. Start with thanksgiving. I just think it's like really helpful to remember that that's like actually changes how we view life. It's just being thankful and choosing that. And like, you know, we've already touched on it, but just the joy and the fact that he, like God, Jesus is fully divine and like the fullness of God.
Totally.
It's such a comfort to know that it's not like partial.
Mm.
It's not, oh, he was just the leg of God or he was the arm of God.
Mm.
No, it's the fullness
totally.
Of who God is in Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful and it's encouraging, because only a full God and a sinless God could pay the price on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
This cross that we've spoken about, that he cancelled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Like that would be in, like, it wouldn't work if he wasn't divinely God.
Totally.
It wouldn't work if he wasn't perfect, because we needed a perfect God to die for us.
Mm.
And even on that, like, we can't forget that he was a human.
Mm.
Like, he was fully God, but he was fully man. In order to represent us and relate to us and almost replace us on the cross, he had to go through what we went through. He had to be tempted in every which way, but was without sin. And the only way he could be without sin is because he was also fully God.
Mm.
Every man, every human is imperfect, and we will be subject to sin and we will fail to sin. But there is a hope, there is a joy, and there is a spotless, sinless man named Jesus who died for us, that we can be forgiven.
Jesse, that was an amazing point. And I think I just wanted to say on that, as a practical point, Christians can easily fall into tick boxing and thinking being a Christian is just going to church on a Sunday, going to life group and reading your Bible every day and not having a relationship and not understanding that it's really about getting to know who Jesus is.
Mm.
Be hungry for him. Come for more, like asking God, hey, I want to know these treasures and these mysteries about you that I can only find that in you.
Mm.
Like, I need that. And that's what really following Jesus is about. You need to get to know who God is. Get to know who him. You've got the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's great. And like, just ask. Keep on asking Jesus. Keep on asking God. Lord, I know that it's not about whatever I can do with my fleshly hands and tick boxing exercises, but it's really getting to know who you are. God, help me do that. I just wanted to say that as a practical point.
And I think you're totally right. It's like adopting the position in which we operate.
Mm.
Being out of a place of grace rather than out of a place of like works.
Totally.
And that, you know, we're not bashing going to church. Like, when you say that, we're not like against church, and we're not against reading your Bible. Totally. Like, these are really important things. But it's sometimes I ask myself, because I struggle with this quite a lot, like when I don't read my Bible, I feel guilty or I feel shame. And sometimes I really have to question, like, why am I feeling shame that like I haven't read my Bible? That doesn't feel like the gospel to feel shame or feel guilt. You can feel conviction, which stirs you and invites you to like a deeper relationship. But shame and like weight, I don't think is always from God.
Yeah, totally.
And so like, you're right. Like, sometimes we tick boxes. Let's read the Bible so that we can get close to heaven, because then I can breathe because I've ticked the box. I've read a chapter. But that isn't how we should operate.
Mm.
We should operate out of a place of, you know, sometimes for me, just wake up and I'm just like, breathe. God's got me. God died for me. God gave me grace. And now out of this place, I can begin to operate.
Totally.
Out of this place, I can begin to do these things, which are actually really helpful with drawing me into more relationship with God.
Mm. I think the point that I was trying to get at was more stay hungry.
Yeah, and it was great.
Stay hungry.
Stay hungry.
It doesn't, like, things like that help in seasons where it's difficult and you really don't feel like picking up your Bible or praying or any of that. Like, what my heart is, stay hungry. There's lots more to come. There's lots that you can learn. Don't think that you know it, like, from just glancing at the Bible once. There's different revelations that the Spirit can bring to life and show you and teach you. So stay hungry.
That's probably one of the biggest struggles.
What?
Just being fairly real. Is like that spiritual discipline stuff.
Mm.
Feeling the weight of not reading my Bible or not spending time with Jesus.
Mm.
And it like wrecks me. Because it's funny when you know God. And you know that he's everything that you need. And you know that he's the only one that sustains you. It almost feels like more pressure sometimes to make sure that you're running everything by him rather than just operating in your own strength.
Mm.
And sometimes when you don't hear anything back or you don't get a chance to run everything by him or you're, you just don't hear, you pray and you don't hear anything. That's really confusing. I find that really hard. Like, oh Lord, I need clarity here. And I know you're the answer to everything. But I can't see you.
Mm.
Can't feel you. And it's taking a moment to recognize that, to recognize that God does care about what's going on internally. He does care externally, but it's making sure that internally we're okay with God. Mm. And then that's when externally it brings him so much glory.
Mm. We could literally talk about that all day. Like, this is the thing about the Bible. Like, there's just so much revealed. And this is why I would encourage you guys, if you're listening at home, read Colossians. Like, you go home and you read it, because we're only here talking about what we're discovering, but God could reveal to you so many more things and unpeel so many more layers. So definitely dig into it, because there's a lot here, but we are going to move on to the next section, the next section.
Can I read it?
Yeah.
I love reading.
Give us that ESV.
ESV translation. The Epic Source translation.
Epic Source version. Yeah, you even failed. Crazy.
Wow. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on aestheticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and its ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to the human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Colossians 2. Right. Well, can I start?
Mm-hmm. Feel free.
That one of the main points is just Paul slamming home the point that it's not about what we do, but it's about grace. Like, he says, do not touch this, do not taste this, because all this stuff, severity to the body, self-made religion, like, they're of no value of stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Mm. And the flesh is kind of referred to as like the world sometimes, or like the sin, stuff that isn't of God. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I view it. Like, all these different things, all these things that man are like putting in place to get close to God. Like, oh, I shouldn't touch this, I shouldn't try this. Like, they're actually not of any value. Mm-hmm. With always growing close to God. Because this is different to fasting. Mm. It's not saying do not fast. It's saying like, do not even touch this. Do not taste this. It's a very different thing. And so like, fasting does bring you close to God. This is kind of like self-made religion, which doesn't actually help at all. And another thing that I found interesting is like being told at the beginning, like, let no one disqualify you, insisting on aestheticism and the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind. I feel like sometimes in charismatic circles, I like feel a little disqualified, because there's people like visibly meeting with God in like a new way, or like an interesting way, or like someone's very clearly gifted or prophetic or this. And I can sometimes feel disqualified in that circle. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just like an encouragement. You don't have to be like seeing loads of visions, or like puffed up, or like seeing angels in order for you to be saved. Mm. No, Paul's saying it's okay. Let no one disqualify you. You're a child of God. You're loved. It's about grace. It's not about what you do or what you see. Trust him.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with the whole thing of works. And I think in one of the verses, it talks about how in the law, let me see if I can find it properly. It says, for these rules are only shadows of the reality to come, and Christ himself is the reality. And it's the fact that under like the Jewish law, the reason why they held so closely to the Torah and all 316 laws is because they were like, oh, we need to get this right.
Yeah.
But the only reason why God allows those rules to be set is because they were supposed to shadow to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus was the fulfillment of the Torah, which is why Jesus says, like, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. And so it's not for us to get hung up on that. And that is where we find our salvation. That's where we find our fulfillment and our hope and our joy and everything. No, we actually find it in Christ because he's the shadow of that. And I think Paul speaking particularly to the Christians that have come out of that like Jewish way of thinking and is reminding them actually, no, don't hold on to those things because that's not where you find your salvation. That's not where you find your fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And trying to tick box all these laws, like you said, Michelle, about the tick box, but it's in Jesus. And I think a separate point that I had, I'm just going to say it.
What are you going to say? Is it going to be heretical then?
No, it's not going to be heretical. It's going to be quite strong there. But I think in our modern day context, right, there are so many different ways of belief, like some people, astrology, some people, other religions, whatever, whatever. And I think a lot of the time with Christianity, right, like in my own personal life, I have friends that say, oh, like, you're the most devout Christian I know. And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? And they're like, well, it's not really clear what Christians have to do. Like, do you have to read the Bible? Do you have to pray? Da-da-da. And to me, it feels like people that seem like they do the most for God gain a lot more respect. And in here it says that these rules may seem wise because it requires strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. Like, it seems wise because you're doing a lot and it requires a lot of self-discipline. But Paul says they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. And I think you can almost turn your faith into a performance where it feels like, oh, I have to do all these things so I seem like I'm on the right track. Mm-hmm. When actually it doesn't matter what other people think. And some of us might end up taking on too much in our faith and making our faith turn into like a task, like a toil, like, oh, serving Jesus feels so long because you've ended up making a whole list of things that you have to do in order to be, to deny yourself or to have this sort of discipline when God actually never asked you to do any of that because our faith doesn't, it's not driven by works, but our works don't drive our faith drives our works. That's what I was trying to say. All these things that you think you might have to do, like, oh, I have to read my Bible every day. You can read your Bible every single day as head knowledge and that will never seep into your heart. Yeah, totally. That's a waste of your time.
Totally.
But if you're seeking to get to know Jesus personally in the heart, that's where, that is the antidote to the evil desires. It comes from going to God for my heart revelation, not just for head knowledge. And so, yeah, I say all that to say, if anybody's listening or watching and you feel like it's a struggle to be a Christian, like, if you actually feel like it's a struggle to follow Christ, not in the sense of like going through hardships and going through hard times, because we all go through hard times, but a struggle in terms of, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. Like, that was never God's design for you. That was never God's desire for your relationship with him. He doesn't want you to feel like you have to do so much. There's only one thing you have to do, and it's to believe in him. And everything starts from there. Like, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all else will be added. Like, it starts with faith. So that's what I wanted to say. I felt that on my heart.
Strong.
Michelle, do you have any take homes?
No, I don't. You guys smashed it. Amazing. This has been fantastic, guys. Colossians 2 has been incredible, just diving deep into it. And guys, if you haven't already, check out the first chapter, Colossians 1. We also went over that. We're going to be back again with Colossians 3 sometime, so stay out, stay tuned for that. But
3 and 4.
We got the 3 and 4 coming.
Yeah.
So,
go on.
Yeah, thank you guys for watching. See you next time. See you next time.
See you later. See you later.